God is good, amen? Are you glad you're here this morning?
That was pretty pathetic, amen? Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yeah.
All right, that's better, amen. You might not be when I'm done, but praise the Lord you are right now. God is good. It's good to be in the house of God today. I appreciate your pastor calling me and inviting me out here again this year for just a couple of days with you. I enjoy this church. This is one of my favorite churches to come to and to be in. I remember the first time I came here, Pastor Bacino, I had a one-ton van, and I had a 30-foot travel trailer, not a fifth wheel, but a trailer behind it, and I backed it all the way up this little spot here and backed it all the way out back and backed it up here in the corner. And Brother Jimmy, you wired some electric and ran me a cord out, you know, and was able to plug in my trailer. And man, the week went great. Had a number of folks get saved, had high crowds. I mean, you know, we had 122 that Wednesday night, brother. I'll never forget it, without the balcony, amen. And then I got ready to leave the next day to pull out I pulled out on that Friday, I think it was, and I was going to another church over in Connecticut to preach, and I get in the truck or in the van in the trailer, I start to pull up, and I'm not paying attention. The pastor says, "Well, come on, you're okay, keep on, yep, go on, you're all right. And I don't know if you remember this, Brother Tom, but out here in the back corner of the building, the top of my trailer tipped and caught the corner of that building back there, and I couldn't go either direction. So I was stuck. I had to back up and tore up my trailer, you know, tore up the church, amen. And yeah, but praise the Lord, it was a great time, amen. God's good, amen. And it's good to be in the house of God here today. And I finally got out of the driveway, and you had me back every couple of years. I think it was back like 3 years in a row back then, you know. Then you had me every third year since then, in and out between them days. And I just enjoy coming here. It's just always been a blessing to be here. And it's a beautiful part of the country, amen. I was wondering when I came this time, and the first time I came here, I lost my voice preaching. The first, second, and third time, I could hardly preach with a microphone, this sinus area. And this valley just hit me big time, and this year I've been good so far, amen. I was wondering, I had a little bit of a scratchy throat the other day when I left Michigan because of all the goldenrod that's out there right now, and it's surrounded where I'm at, and I go down the road, if I roll down my window, man, I tell you, by the time I get into town, I'm sneezing, you know, and then I got to get back in my van and turn the air on and get back to where I'm going before I'm all right again, you know, it's good to be here, and I sure appreciate this church, and thank you folks for inviting me and having me again this year. Acts chapter 16 with me this morning. My wife told me to make sure I tell everyone here hello. She texted me this morning, and I did not text her back yet because it was on my way here, and her text said, praying for you today. And my wife prays for me every day. Boy, I thank the Lord for her, amen. And she's such a precious part of my life, and I don't tell her this all the time because I don't want it to go to her head, but I would not be able to do this without her, amen. And I want her to think that I know what I'm doing and when I don't. And so what can I say? But God is good, amen. In Acts chapter 16, would you stand with me for a moment as we read? And I'm going to give you just a brief synopsis of this real quick before I read. So this, it won't take me long, just pay attention for a few moments. But you know, here in Acts chapter 16, if you go back to the beginning, you see where Paul and Timothy, Silas now, and Paul says that we wanted to go into Troas, we wanted to go into Bithynia, we wanted to go into Asia over in that part, and two times the Holy Spirit told him not to go and would not allow him. Paul could have justified that, and he could have went and said, "I'm doing the will of God because he called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ," but the Holy Spirit told him, "Don't go there," and so Paul's asleep and he's waiting, and all of a sudden a figure appears to him in the middle of the night, a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us. Come over in the Macedonia." So Paul goes, and you see that Lydia gets saved, and that the seller of purple, the lady down by the river where prayer was wont to be made, the scripture says, and she got born again by the very grace of God, and her household, and they all got baptized. Her household would include her family, maybe, pastor, and anybody else that lived there with her, and then maybe her servants, whoever was there working, those who helped her in whatever she had accomplished in her life. And then Paul and Silas come out of there, and it says a prayer again. If you look down at verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer." This is right after the baptisms, right after these things had happened. It said, "A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this she did many days, but Paul was being grieved, turned and said to her, to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of that same hour." Now listen, what she was saying was not wrong. It was true. But I think it was in the mannerism she was saying it. She was saying it in a mocking attitude, and maybe an attitude of, these men are for the Most High God, and they show us the way of salvation, you know, and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, that's enough. He said, so he commanded this spirit. By the way, the Bible says, even the devils believe, amen, and tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. And she commanded the spirit to come out. And so she came out, he came out that same hour. And then as you read down through there, you see that her owners, those who owned her, those who put her into business, were angry and mad. Now because she no longer has a spirit of divination. And they weren't mad when she was talking about God. They weren't mad when she was making fun of Paul and Silas and saying, they come to teach us about the Savior, Jesus Christ. They were mad because now they're losing their money over all this. And so they bring them into the courtyard. And the Bible says, and the multitude rose up in verse 22 against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, by the way, let me stop there, they could have received as many as 39 stripes. And that's more than just a little bruising on the back. That is the flesh being ripped off the back with a whip. These men had been whipped for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the innermost part of the prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They weren't just in prison. They were in the innermost part. They were in the dark part. They were in a time. They were in a time when they could not be with other prisoners right around them at this moment. And their feet are in stocks or in chains. They're locked to the ground. They cannot get up and walk around. They cannot move about in the prison. They are in one place, stuck there, being beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, and at midnight. I'd like to preach a message to you simply entitled this morning, and at midnight. Let's go to prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word and the privilege we have to gather around it this morning. God, I pray to help us this morning to receive from your word something that will benefit each one of us as your children, dear God. I pray if there's someone here in our presence who has never been born again, saved by your wonderful, matchless grace, Father, that you would save that soul. Help us, Father, to get what we need today. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this morning, I'd like to speak on that subject again, and at midnight. You know, this is a time of midnight in our world, amen, right now. A time of darkness. We've never seen this. Whoever thought we would see what we see today going on in our country? And somebody says, well, the Spanish flu of 1918 and 19 was bad, and a lot of people died. You know, people weren't wearing masks back then also, and they shut down public schools, and they shut down churches, Pastor, back in the early 1900s because of the Spanish flu and all the people that had died. But we never thought we would see it on this magnitude again in our country like we see it today. And today, in our country today, since this COVID thing has hit, there have been more suicides have risen to the point above and beyond what you would ever imagine in the United States of America. And the majority of those who are committing suicide are males between the ages of about 40 years old and 60 years old, who have lost everything, who now have absolutely nothing. And to them, that is in the midnight of their life. By the way, let me make this statement to you. There's nothing where a believer should ever I want to commit suicide. Not saying it does not happen. Not saying that people don't get depressed. I'm saying there's no reason for us to. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the one who died for the sins of the world, the one who died for you, the one who died for me, the one who can carry us through anything that we can ever possibly go through in our life is Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you what, it's a time of darkness in our country. In the dark of the night, being ridiculed like Paul and Silas, being ridiculed, being beaten, having the flesh taken off their back with these whips and having their clothes ripped right off of them, folks, and stripping them down to the waist so they can whoop them, so they can beat them. Being thrown in jail in the innermost part, they're not in the outer court of the jail. They're on the inner court. They're not out with some of the other prisoners that are not chained down, Pastor Vecino. They're in where they cannot do anything but be there and have in darkness, a place of darkness in their life, a place of darkness in the night and chained up. Well, I tell you, and the Bible says, and at midnight. And at midnight. The dark time. That's what the midnight represents. The dark time does not necessarily mean 12 o'clock, like we would say midnight, 12 o'clock. This is the dark time. That's what it's referring to, the dark time in their life, the darkness of the night, the deepness. I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you this, in that prison in the middle of the night, it's dark. It was dark. And what amazes me is that you see the first thing in that midnight, there was praying. There was praying. The first thing they did, they did not cry, they did not complain, they did not whine, they did not wimp out, they did not quit, they did not stop, they prayed. So the Bible says this, it says, in that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And I don't think that they're praying, I don't think their praying was like this, Pastor Vecino. I don't think it was, oh God, why me? Oh God, how come this happened? We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning, Brother Tom. You brought that out very well in there, amen. I don't think it was that kind of praying. I think their praying was praising God and thanking God and giving God the honor and the glory. No matter what they were going through at this time in their life, they were just praising God that they could be where they were at because they had served Him to as far as they could serve Him at that time. And now they're in prison for it, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't suffer persecution in our country. We don't know what persecution is here. You want to know persecution, go to China and see how they're still persecuted today and imprisoned today for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and being kicked out of China for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know of a young man who's a friend of mine. He's back in the States now and he helps churches in Mexico and other places around the country. But he was in China for a while as a teaching in a school, as a missionary. And when he was teaching there, they got word that the government was coming in, the soldiers were coming in to arrest them and shut the school down. And they heard about this, and everybody left the school system, and everybody left the area there. And he was fortunate enough to be able to get out of China before he got arrested, just for teaching about Jesus Christ. We have no idea what persecution is here. And we think we're persecuted right now because, Pastor, we have to wear a mask. Or we think we're persecuted right now because of the stipulations that we put on the church today about how we can meet together, cannot meet together. We are not persecuted. We are not persecuted, amen. We still have freedom in this country to worship God. It might not be long. It might not be long, amen. But we think this is persecution. Oh, my friend. We still have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we still ought to be praying and just thanking God that we have an opportunity to be able to worship. Regardless if it's sitting in a church right now, Pastor, or regardless if it's looking online at a television set or where you can see what's going on in the church, we ought to just be able to thank God that we can worship God today. Amen. Be in prayer and thank God where we are at in our country, where we are at as individuals, that no matter what's happening, we still have a God that we can go to and a God that we can trust and a God that we can walk with and a God that we know will bring us through all this. Amen. You say, well, Brother Mike, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you get COVID? I don't worry about it. If I get it, I get it. Amen. Do I want it? Absolutely not. I've got a friend. I got a nephew who was just in the hospital down in Tennessee and almost died, had to have 3 plasma transfusions because of COVID. Was almost in the state of coma when he was down there. He was in bad shape. But he's out now, amen. I got another preacher friend who was in Tennessee that got, they were in Tennessee. He's in Kentucky. And he came down with COVID, was in the hospital 8 days. And to the point where he said, I've never been that sick in my life. Never. My nephew, by the way, and my niece's husband, he's a physically fit individual. He's in good shape. Doesn't have the asthma, doesn't have the problems that some people have. But he got it anyway, and he got it bad. The other guy has asthma, real bad, and it went right to his lungs also. But hey, you know what both of them had done? They prayed and thanked God. Prayed and thanked God. And now they can at least thank God that they're home, amen, and they're doing better. We need to pray. My wife prays for me, and I thank God for that. And I know this church prays for me. I've got churches all over America that pray for me. I got churches in Australia that pray for me. I got churches I've got churches in New Guinea that when they hear I'm sick, they pray for me. I got people in New Guinea, brother, that still text me now and then that pray for me every day. You know, national pastors that pray for me every day. I got pastors in Canada that pray for me every day. Pastors in this continent, the United States, that pray for me every day. I thank God for that, amen. I thank God for prayer. And we ought to be prayer warriors. The Bible says in Psalm 32, 6-7, for this shall every soul, every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. And then it refers to the flood of Noah. He makes this statement, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. When the difficult times come, they will turn their back on God. But we are born again believers, saved by the grace of God. And when the difficult time comes, we ought to call on God and come to God and ask him to help us to get through it and give us the right attitude in our heart and our mind that we might serve him. Amen. And follow him all the way to the end. That he would have all the glory and all of the honor. Oh, man, and you remember David over in the book of Psalm chapter 142 in verse 1. David makes this statement. David was in a cave, by the way, at this time when he makes this statement. He says this, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. David, when he's in the darkness, when he's in a dark time, when he's in a dark cave. You ever been in a dark cave? You ever been in a cavern? Anybody here ever go to caverns? I love caverns, amen. I got a little nervous a number of years back when I was about 290 pounds. I was one time I weighed 299.9 pounds, Brother Jimmy. I'm down a lot less than that now, amen. I dropped 70 pounds this last year. But listen, somebody said, how come you don't say 300? Because I didn't weigh no stinking 300. I weighed 299.9, amen. I didn't hit the 300 mark, amen. I got a little nervous. I was down there about 299.9. And I'm walking through these little... I had to go sideways. And my belly's rubbing. Going through. I was wondering, man, I hope an earthquake doesn't happen to squish me into nothing, man. I tell you what, that'd have been... I got a little bit nervous that time. If you get down to the bottom of these caves all the time, what happens? They get you down there. And they say, now put your hand in front of your face, sister. And you put your hand in front of your face like this, and they shut off the lights. They said, you can't see anything, can you? I always wanted to go to the guy next to me and go, I like to, boy, scare them half to death probably, amen. If I did it, my wife, she'd haul off and hit me. I wouldn't see it coming. Just like I didn't see that coming this morning, preacher. Thank you, brother. Well, I tell you. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. You remember, Peter was in prison himself. Peter was in prison. And you know, when Peter was in prison, I guarantee you, Peter was praying. Peter's in prison, he's between a guard here, and he's chained. He cannot go anywhere. He's stuck in prison, chained. What for? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, or being the witness of God as intended him to be. And he's in that prison, and he's stuck between these two guards. And the Bible says that the prayer was wanting to be made by him, for him by the church. And you remember what happened in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Now watch. He's in prison, and the angel of God, prayer is being prayed for him. In fact, it says this. It says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him when Peter was kept in prison. Now, they're praying for Peter. Angel of God shows up to Peter. And the angel comes in. The angel wakes Peter up. But Peter thinks he's dreaming. And the angel gets him up on his feet. His chains fall off. The angel gets Peter walking out of the inner prison to the outer prison or the outer court through the gates of the prison. Peter thought he was dreaming until he got outside the prison. Then he realizes what happened. Then he goes over to the house where prayer is wont to be made for him, where other disciples are, and he knocks on the gate, and Rhoda comes down to the gate like this. Rhoda sees Peter there, and she's so excited, she doesn't even let him in. She runs back to the house. She tells the disciples, Peter's out there. They say, oh, no, you had too much pizza before you went to bed tonight, amen. I don't know. But see, no, there's something wrong with you. It's not true. And then they go and they see, and there's Peter standing out there. He did not even know it until he got outside the prison. He thought he had been dreaming. But he was in a dark time, a dark prison. And yet God brought him out, amen. Can I tell you this? God can bring you out of anything in your life that you're going through. Why? Because he's God. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he died for you upon the cross of Calvary, that you might be able to have eternal life and live for him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We ought to be prayer warriors. We ought to be praying, amen. But we see not only was there praying in that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, but the Bible says this, and sang praises unto God. Unto God. Not unto man, but unto God. They sang praises unto God. And the word sing shows up in the scripture, just the word sing itself 119 times. 119 times, man. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 says this about Moses. The Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, now this is when they came across the Red Sea. And the Bible says, speak unto the Lord, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They're giving God the praise, giving God the honor, giving God the glory. Exodus 15, verse 20 verses later, Exodus 15, verse 21, Miriam sings the same thing. She says, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They didn't sing a praise to Moses. They did not sing a praise to Pharaoh for letting them go. But they sang a praise from God for delivering them, amen. And our praises ought to be to a holy God. We ought to be singing to a holy God today in our lives and our hearts as believers in Jesus Christ. I get excited sometimes. I get up. I know you wouldn't think that about me, amen. I get up in the morning, and my wife sometimes is up before me. Used to be she was always up a lot earlier than I was, because I wasn't going to bed until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd be wide awake laying there if I did, brother. You know, now, last night, I was in the bed, and I fell asleep at 9 o'clock, you know. And then I woke up at 11 o'clock and couldn't go back to sleep until 1 o'clock, amen. Laying there tossing and turning, you know, turn on the TV for a little bit to get some background noise, and you couldn't listen to that, because then I'm listening to that and not trying to go to that. I said, that's enough of that garbage. Shut the TV off and lay there. I finally went to sleep for about an hour, then I woke up again, you know, then I went to sleep for about another hour, then I woke up again, then I went to sleep for about an hour and a half, and I woke up again, and finally at 5 o'clock I woke up and I thought, I ought to go get myself a coffee, but then I fell asleep again until 7 o'clock. Whoa, that was pretty good, amen. I tell you, I was about ready to go over to Starbucks and grab. They open at 5 o'clock in the morning. I would have been their first customer. Good night. I went there at 9 o'clock, and good night. I tell you, I sat in line 15 minutes before I could get through the stinking line to get a cup of coffee, you know. Man, I tell you, they got to get a different plan. They got to get like Chick-fil-A or somebody, you know. Let's do something a little bit different there. I have no idea, but I got my plans for them, but they won't ask me. Amen. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 through 2 says this, to the chief physician upon Methuselah, a psalm of David, he said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will praise thee with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Some of our singing today, and I like good songs. I like songs about what Jesus has done. Praise the Lord. They ought to have good songs. But some of our singings today, and some of our new songs that are coming out across the market, contemporary and some contemporary music today, gives more praise to man than it does to God. That's sad. Amen. I think Paul and Silas, brother, were giving praise to God, singing praises to a holy God. I don't know what their song was, but whatever it was, they were singing praises to God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, a spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart, he says unto the Lord in Ephesians 5:19. I tell you what, do you ever sing in your heart? You don't really want to hear me sing out loud, amen. I'm not a sanger, amen. I'm not. My family, boy, Dedell and Matthew, you know, boy, they can sing up a storm. My oldest daughter can sing, and my grandkids can sing. My oldest daughter's, her three children that are home yet, they're playing the piano and singing. And then, boy, I tell you, my one grandson just graduated from Massillon Baptist Bible College with a music degree, leading songs in a church down in Massillon, Ohio. Boy, I'm excited for him, amen. And my other grandchildren all sing, you know, but I don't sing. My singing's like this, Pastor Vecino. I'll be singing in the house sometimes, sister, you know, and my wife and my kids will always say this. They'd say, you know, those words don't go with that song. But it's my song. I'm making melody in my heart. And here's my son's attitude with it. Don't sing it out loud. You know, because it ain't right, you know. I said, well, listen, any little kids here? No. Shut up, it's my song, amen. Well, I tell you, my friend, we need to have a singing heart. Well, watch what happens. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and at midnight now, listen, and the prisoners heard. So we see that there was praying, and there was singing, and then there was listening. You know, I believe that we ought to be prayer warriors. I really, not just on Wednesday night, but we ought to be praying every day. We ought to be praying. We ought to be praying throughout the day. He says, pray what without, it's Ephesians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That means have the attitude of prayer. I don't want you to close your eyes if I'm riding with you and pray while we're going down the road and you're driving, amen. Keep your eyes open. You can have an attitude of prayer, amen. I tell you, in fact, if Pastor Vecino's driving and you're riding with him, you better be in an attitude of prayer. Just saying, you know. Just trying to help you all here, amen, for a little bit. Linda, I know I pray for you all the time because you're married to this character, amen. I'm just telling you, amen. So we need to be in prayer. We need to be have melody in our heart, amen. And listen, and somebody will always be listening. Somebody, I'll never forget Pastor Vecino. I think I shared this again last year here. The little girl that when you and I went, the first year I was here, and she was in the drugstore where I had that bad sinus infection. And you took me in there, and she walks up to you, and she says, Pastor, she calls her mother over. I don't know if her mother came here or not, but she introduced her mother to you and said, she said, and she was just about your height, that little girl, amen. She was about 5 years old or something like that. Maybe 6 years old, a seven-year-old little kid, you know. And she walks up to Pastor Vecino, and she grabs her mother by the hand and brings her mother over, and she says, Mom, she says, this is my pastor. And we love Jesus, don't we, Pastor? He says, we sure do, sweetheart. And then she stands there and she starts singing. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And all of a sudden there was an older lady over here. And I'm not picking on the older ladies in this room. I'm going to be 69, you know. I'm not as old as some of you, but I ain't that much younger than some of you either. Roy, hey man, I know you're 180, but, you know. But this lady turns around and she screws up her nose. And she looks at this little girl. You remember what happened next? Then she goes like this. I mean, it just, and she's looking at Pastor and all like, you better be singing with me, buddy, type of thing. You know? And we start singing with her, but now she's going like this. She goes, Jesus loves me, this I know, man. She's just going to, we ought to have a melody in her heart, amen. That little girl had a melody in her heart. You say, boy, that would embarrass me. Oh, man, come on, get over yourself, amen. Get in love with Jesus Christ. Who cares what the world thinks? Listen, I was a fool before I was saved. I was an idiot before I was saved. I was wicked before I was saved. And if I could act like a fool and be an idiot and be wicked before I was saved, I could sure love God and serve Him and be an idiot for Jesus Christ and a fool for Jesus Christ today. Amen. Well, get over ourselves. Let's get on something for God. Hallelujah. Let's do what's right. This is a dark time in our world, and the world needs to see some positive things out of us. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to see our praising of Him and our singing of Him and our glorifying Him, and the world will listen. The world will listen. I've seen 17 people saved in 7 weeks of meetings out in Ohio and Pennsylvania and in New York before I got back, and in Ohio again before I got back to Michigan. I thank Lord. I saw my oldest granddaughter, brother, just got saved. Kaya, Danny's oldest girl, 17 years old, called me on the phone about two weeks ago now, and she says, "Grandpa," I "got some news for you." I thought, okay, you're getting married? She's in love with a guy, amen. I'm thinking, not yet, honey, please, you know. I said, not yet. No, she says, "Grandpa," she says, "I was listening to Dr. Robbie Morrison preach this morning. He's a good friend of mine, good preacher, southern preacher, good boy from West Virginia, good man. He says, listen to Brother Robinson preach, Morrison preach this morning." And he said, "Brother Morrison was talking about sometimes that maybe we made decisions when we were younger, but maybe we did it because of the family. Maybe we did it because our parents were in the ministry. Maybe we did it because of other things." She said, "I want you to know something, Grandpa." She said, "This morning, I got saved." I said, "Praise the Lord." Well, I didn't say it that way. I said, "Praise the Lord, amen." I get excited when my grandkids get saved and tell me about it. I want them to know that there's something real about this, amen. When I got saved, I got excited for Jesus Christ. I witnessed every man in that prison that I was in, telling them how Jesus had just saved this old wicked sinner, this ungodly man, and I wanted to see them to see a difference in me. And I've been like that ever since I've been saved for 46 years now, and I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior, and there's nothing ever that I want to go back to, amen. I want to go forward from here on out. They will listen. People will listen. They will hear. Jesus said in Mark 7:14, "And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." He says in Psalm 81, verse 10 and 11, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." And I'm afraid there's many born-again believers that will not hearken to the voice of God today. They're afraid. They're afraid of what somebody else is going to think. They're afraid of what somebody else is going to say. They're afraid that it might cost them business with somebody. They're afraid that they're just afraid. Not just of the COVID thing. They're afraid. Sometimes people are afraid to talk about Jesus today, brother, because they're afraid to lose their job. And I realize it's a different day than it was when I went. When I could take my Bible into the workplace back in the 70s, brother, and I could stand at my machine on piecework, and I could work, and I could read my Bible and work for my lunch hour, and I'd have guys come up and ask me questions about what I was doing. And I knew nothing about the Bible, knew nothing about the Word of God. I could hardly differentiate between the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. But I knew that God had done something in my life, had done something in my heart, and He showed me something that I needed. He gave me Jesus Christ when I called upon Him. And He died for my sin, and I got saved by His grace. And I knew if He could save me, He could save anybody. And I would stand there, and I finally had to shut that machine down. And they would ask me questions. And boy, I tell you, for about 1 year, brother, every day at lunchtime, I'd have anywhere from 7 to 10 to 12 to 15 guys, 16 guys sometimes, stand around me and asking questions about the Bible. Had a couple of them get saved by the very grace of God. Why? Because God is good, amen. And He's in the business even yet of saving souls. Well, we ought to be the best witness that we can be for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not saying go out and lose your job for it. I say, but boy, live that testimony. People might question and want to know how you got it. Then you can share it with them. Well, that's what happens, because that's what happens right here. The Bible says this in verse 8, or verse 26, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake." You could say there was a quaking, amen. But I didn't put that in my notes. But he said there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm." Now watch this. "For we are all here. Every prisoner in that prison was still there. Can I tell you what, when I was in prison, I was in six different prisons in 4 years. Pastor, if I was in prison and then doors would have opened up and then chains would have come off, you know where I would have been? I'd have been heading to Mexico, amen. I'd been heading out of the United States of America. I'd have been gone. But here, every prisoner. I don't know how big that prison was. I was in one time that had a little over 3,000 men in it at one time. I don't know how big that prison was right here. I got a feeling it's pretty good size. Amen. Well, I guarantee you that every one of the men were there. Why? I think they got something from what Paul and Silas were doing that night, praying and singing, and they were listening. And now we see, as a result of that, we see a seeking. Well, that's what happens. He says in verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. See, just, you say, well, Mike, I've always believed. Just that attitude, I've always believed, that's good. But just believing is not what he's talking about here. When he talks to them about believing, you understand when a Jewish man believed that it was turning against everything that they had ever been taught other than Jesus Christ and